Titus 2.
But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again. Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee.
Praise the Lord, brothers. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is our issue, Scripture Men's Talk. I'd like to welcome you to the listening again to the episode today. Just wanted to share some things as we continue in the month of June, talking about discipleship. Talking about discipleship versus fellowship, we're talking about in the context of spiritual growth, to know what that we need to be in fellowship, that we need to be in discipleship, under the leadership, under the teaching in the things of God. Today we're going to talk about what discipleship, why is it important, and what does it look like. And I just want to give a framework. Again, the Word of God says so much about our spiritual growth and who we are in Christ, and as we are to call to grow in Christ, that we can be used by God, again, to fulfill the Great Commission, go into all the world and make disciples, and share and spread the gospel by living it out and also by speaking and telling people about the gospel. Amen. So I want to start right there for this episode this evening. I want to share some of the gospel and understand what the gospel is. And this is what we believe as the body of Christ. That the gospel is a divine revealed message concerning the person and work of Jesus Christ, his virgin birth, his righteous life, his substitutionary sacrifice, atoning death, and bodily resurrection, revealing who he is and what he has done with the promise that he will save anyone and everyone who turns from sin by trusting in him. That means turning, repenting from our sin, and trusting him. And again, that word, substitutionary sacrifice, where he paid the price for our sins, that now we are freed. And when God sees us, he sees Christ, and not our sin, but sees the sacrifice of Christ. Amen. And we also understand and believe that salvation is granted by God's grace alone, received through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. Every believer is united to Christ, justified before God, and adopted into his family. In God's eyes, there is no difference in spiritual value or worth among those who are in Christ. All who are united to Christ, all that are united to Christ are also united to one another, regardless of age, ethnicity, or sex. All believers are being conformed to the image of God. By God's regeneration, sanctifying grace, all believers will be brought to a final glorified, sinless state of perfection in the day of the Lord. And that's what we're talking about, discipleship while we're here on earth. That we are growing in the knowledge of God. We're growing in the grace of God. We'll have to point you to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Just to understand that we are called to grow. But it says, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. And this is where we are, gentlemen, brothers. Are you growing in Christ? Are you in a place where you're being discipled? Are you on purpose pursuing the things of God to grow that you might be used by him? Some of my previous programs, we were talking to some of the brothers, but this is what we are called to be as men, to be leaders in the home, in the church, in the community. But our submission unto Christ and our living obedience to Christ, I think, is the most important thing that we have to work on and focus on. So, you know, so as a Christian, discipleship, we understand that discipleship is the process by which disciples grow in the Lord Jesus Christ and are equipped by the indwelling Holy Spirit. That Spirit lives in us. Once we are converted and we put our faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit now becomes indwelled in us. It lives in us. That's the thing that enables us to live lives as obedient lives in Christ and being part of the body of Christ, to being a disciple, being obedient, being a child of God. It's through the gifting of the Holy Spirit. You know, my brother, one of my pastors back in the day told me, you know, the Holy Spirit is like the down payment. It's like the down payment of heaven for us. It's that down payment that we're given. It's like being betrothed or like when we give, remember when we first gave our wives their engagement ring. You know, so that's what the Holy Spirit is that's living within us. It enables us now to be the child of that God, that God sees us in a certain way, and it gives us the power to live obedient lives to him. Amen? So that's the thing we have to understand, where we are in this process. Because that's the thing we also remember, it's a process of growth. But in that process, we have to make sure and check ourselves, are we becoming stagnant? Are we now obeying? Are we obeying God? Are we obeying the scripture? Are we obeying Christ? Are we being led by the Spirit in our lives and the choices we make and how we live? And are we fulfilling the purpose and plan God has for us and for the church? Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord, Pastor. How are you this morning? Even morning.
Hey, Dick. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. Ready to get into this discussion. I got another... another bomb to load on you here.
Oh, man, there you go again. All right, amen. Hold on, let me check you. Just check your volume, check your microphone. Sound a little low on me, on my end, but maybe it's me. Let me turn up my stuff here and make sure. Amen. So I just wanted to share with the brothers. We're talking about discipleship and who we are in Christ and the importance of us growing, able to be disciples and put in our place. And what does that look like? Because, again, being discipled is more, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to stick with it until, you know, someone can say something different, because it's more than just the Sunday service. It's more than just, it is being the church. I think that's my biggest thing when we're talking about discipleship, as I look around, just from my perspective now. Being a disciple is more than just Sunday when the saints come together in what we come together to worship and we praise God. I understand that. I clearly understand it. And that's what we are to call to do, to encourage one another. But it is not being part of the body of Christ more than Sunday service. And as always here at Issues Christian Ministry, I talk about Bible study. Are we attending Bible study so that we can grow? Because our pastors, our elders, those teaching pastors, those teachers within the body of Christ, God has put them in our lives and put them in these positions to teach us now to go out, and that's the discipling process. Because it's a combination of a lot of things, because, again, we are being transformed, we're being sanctified in the whole process of our conversion. And our growth is, are we surrounding ourselves, are we, you know, head deep into the word. Now we all get things, we learn different, we understand differently at different levels, but that's fine. But we have to be, are we continuing to pursue the things of God? That's the biggest thing. And then are we now, have we purged the sinful things in our life? And I'm talking about our, not the things we do, because the things we do are based on the root of who we are. But now has the sin nature been starting to be purged, where we don't do those things that are sinful and disobedient and anger God? You know what I mean? So this is what, these are the things that we have to look at as men and as mature saints and as we mature more. It's not that we're going to be sinless on this earth, but we're not going to be practicing sin and have and habitually sin. An example I give, you know, you can't be constantly have a habit of sinning in your life and say you're still a Christian. Because we know soul and light, light and darkness can't exist at the same time in the same place. The Holy Spirit can't live within you and you're still doing things that are plainly written in the Bible, an abomination and a sin against God. So these are the things that we want to, I want to touch on a little bit today and encourage you. And hopefully it encourages you, it encourages the brothers around you. You know, these are why we have the body of Christ, to be able to hold each other accountable, to encourage one another, challenge one another, support one another, and then also to, you know, hold each other accountable. That accountability part, you know, that only comes through real transparency, and that's the whole fellowship thing. But, you know, I'm going to stay on the disciple thing, but I just want to, you know, that's my opening monologue. I'm going to start right there. Amen. We're going to touch on this couple other things, brothers. I encourage you with the listening opportunity. You can always go to www.blogtalkradio.com. You can come as far, listen to the archive and the rebroadcast of this show. I encourage you to get a notebook, piece of paper or something, to write down some scriptures here, because I want to give you some scriptures to meditate on, to help you in understanding and also, you know, to be able to share, to talk about it amongst your brothers where they are. Because the thing we have to be when we're in fellowship and the ministering to men is we have to start engaging each other about the scripture. We talk about a lot of things. We talk about football, basketball, stuff that's going on that has no real effect on our lives. But the scripture and the application of scripture and the growing in our faith, these are things that we can help each other with and should be the lead of our conversation, that gathering, not just go to. Well, what the pastor said to me, you're talking about millionaires arguing over money, over millions of dollars that we have nothing to do with. Amen? That's really what sports has turned into. I mean, I enjoy sports myself, but that shouldn't be the thing, the focus, that I know all the stats. I know everything about my team, and I know everything about all the people that have played on my team. But what do you know about Christ? And are you, does it flow out of you the same way those things flow out of you? Be it basketball, baseball, football. Does the word of God and the things of God flow out of you the same way? It's the same way we have those conversations that we can talk about it. Amen? Pastor Watkins, sir, what do you say? That's the end of my opening monologue.
I agree with your monologue, man. I was listening to the part where you were talking about that it's a process. And that's kind of where I was going today with the process. You know, I had to look back at discipleship to see what true discipleship really was, to make sure that we understood how the process was supposed to go, and to understand and make sure that we, as we grow, that we are staying within that process and that we understand what that process is. And in doing so, I came up with a couple of questions. The Spirit led me to a couple of questions, and I had to do some research and some study to find out what was going on or what was the true answer to these questions. So it led me on a better understanding of what discipleship is and a better way to explain discipleship to other people so that they can receive it and then be able to embrace it to the point where they can see themselves becoming disciples of Christ and not just, as you said, regular churchgoers. There has to be some separation there. So this is the concept that we came up with and we were listening to. In talking about discipleship, the thing that I found out, and this is my question to you, sir, you can help me with this if you can, is what's the difference between evangelism and discipleship? Where's the break in, what's the delineation in there? Can you break that down so that we can understand the difference? Or is there a difference?
Well, that's why I invite you here. But you know what? Let me say this. You know, in response to that shit, you know, that this goes back to a conversation I was having earlier this morning. But there, I believe, and I understand that there's a difference. Because if I look at Scripture and I look what Paul did on his missionary journeys, he went and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ there was a lot going on to the places he went to preach the gospel. The gospel, the truth of Jesus Christ, who Christ was, why Christ died, why is he, the things that he taught. And I think that's what evangelism is. We're bringing light and knowledge into a lost and dying world. We're going out to people who don't know Christ. We are the messengers. We're taking the gospel message to people who don't have it. So that's evangelism to me. But now in the process of what Paul did, because I put it this way. Paul, in the book of Acts, his missionary journeys, to me, that was all evangelism. He went out, he shared the gospel, he endured some things, he was persecuted for some things. The story of the brothers that went with him, that they connected, and they went and spread the gospel of Christ throughout Europe, Asia Minor, all of that. Okay, so then I look at Paul's letters that he wrote those churches that he planted and put elders in, he put Titus and he put Timothy as pastors there. But then he wrote letters to them, and to me that's where now he's discipling them so they can continue to teach the people or to encourage them along the way. And that's where I see the difference. Evangelism is that we're taking the message to someone. But now once they receive the message, our discipleship is now to help them grow and to, like I say, encourage, support, hold each other accountable. So even when we make, as we being the process of sanctification and growth, we're helping each other so when we slip, you know, when we make mistakes. Also, John wrote in 1 John, 2 John, he encouraged the folk. The scripture, you know, if you repent, confess your sins when you make a mistake to keep people growing and not give up on their faith. So I see that as a discipleship. But then I see, like I say, I see Paul on his missionary journeys as evangelist. We're taking a message to a people who don't know. We're introducing them to Christ. And then discipleship is that. Now we're going to help them grow and live it out. That's the other thing. Because I have one of my questions here. What does discipleship look like? Because what does it look like to us, and how are we portraying a godly, being a godly man, living a godly life? What do you say? How was that, brother?
That was excellent, man. That was that is the same root and the same thing that God revealed unto me. He put it to me this way: evangelism is the start of the whole process. Evangelism is them receiving the word and accepting. Us spreading the word, them receiving the word, and then accepting Christ as their Lord and Savior. And then as we talked earlier, there's fellowship, where fellowship is the relationship where you begin to understand who Christ is and what Christ means to you. And as you do that, you then become a Christian, so to speak. From there, you have to now grow into becoming a disciple. Matthew 28:19 says, Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And it's basically teaching them, making disciples is teaching people how to live this life, how to walk out the things that Christ has commanded us to do, how to keep his commandments, how to make sure that we're loving everybody, how to make sure that people know when they see us or know that we are different, living that set-apart life. And we can only do that, that we move from that fellowship or that relationship area into being disciples, and we grow into being further Christians. And that, again, is where we see it takes being, it takes that learning factor, it takes that being taught factor, it takes that growth area, it takes that maturity level, and it takes that time of intimacy with God to get us to the next levels so that we can now move into being disciples and not just abiding in Christ, but we're living the life that we're supposed to be living. And this is where the epistles come in, because they teach us how to live that life. They explain things to us. Romans teaches us how to live the life of Christians and to have the grace and to understand mercy and to understand repentance and all of this stuff. So these, when we talk about the process, we move from evangelism to accepting Christ to fellowship to discipleship. And discipleship is the process of living it out. And as we live it out, we begin to share it again with others, to teach them how to live it out. And this is the area which I kind of special in, and I kind of denote it as soul maintenance, because we're teaching them how to maintain their soul or how to maintain their spiritual life to the point where they become mature Christians that can now not only that can now come out of the hospital bed and become actual doctors to help the actual sick and the lost. This is the process that God opened up to me, and this is the thing that I wanted to bring to the conversation. What do you think, sir?
Amen, amen. And that's the, I think that's the thing for every brother that's listening. You know, we have to step back and see, are we, it goes back to this, it begins in us. Are we growing in Christ, and are we seeking to grow in Christ? Because we don't know everything, but we don't know how to, you know, even when it comes to evangelism, people don't go out and evangelize to strangers because they're not being taught how. I see it as it's the work of the Holy Spirit, but it's also, there's a reason why we have pastors and teachers. So that we can now, through the Holy Spirit, now we're learning. I think about Scripture. I think about the 3 years Jesus spent with the 12. So Jesus spent 3 years with them, showing them things, how to do things. He sent them out two by two. He did a lot of things in those 3 years to prepare them. And this is even before the Holy Spirit came. But he took time to prepare them. So are we, I go back to us as the body of Christ, are we preparing folk, and when it comes to men's ministry, are we preparing men in a way that they can now be used by God? Because I want to think about it like this. If the original 12 disciples who Jesus called, out of all walks of life, all kinds of character, all kinds of, you know, they have different skill sets, fishermen, tax collectors, there was all different kinds of things. They had some rebels in there, the zealots, and all these things. He called them out of that life to follow him, and then he prepared them. So what if those 12 were like some of us, or like the body of Christ, that they were sometimes around Jesus, they sometimes listened to Jesus, they saw some stuff, they were supposed to be in a place, and they weren't there, so they heard about it. You know, what if they were hit and miss? That's what I want to say. Or is Christ the priority in our life? But I think that's the first thing we have to start to look at. Has the things of God, has the understanding and the great and the knowledge of God moved to the forefront of our lives, because we see that we need it, we see the passion for it, and we see what God has called us to be. And the only way we can fulfill those things is through the understanding of the application of his word. Because first, if we can't apply it to our lives, we can't be an example. We can't be salt and light. We can't be used by God, because our lives are jacked up. Unconfessed sins. We haven't been delivered from some things. We got all this stuff. We haven't surrendered unto God. But we think because if we cover it up, if we put up a good mask and that good masquerade, we're okay because nobody else can see it. But, you know, God knows our heart. That's a famous quote in scripture everybody likes to use, but everybody acts like they don't really believe that. But God knows. So I say again, it's about, are we being discipled? Are we under submission? It's obedience, submission, sacrifice. These are some of the things, these are the words that we ought to be called as disciples. And I think that's important. So what do you say, sir? Because, you know, you stir up a lot of me, and I'm writing some stuff down, and I'm trying to because I want to put this in the hearing of the brothers that are listening. Because I'll say this and come back to you, sir. It's about where you are, where you want to be in the things of God. And also, what's your legacy going to be? What is your true legacy going to be?
Yes.
Amen? Exactly. What do you say, sir?
I agree with you. Everything you're saying is totally right. Everything you're saying is exactly. But the next thing I wanted to bring out is the fact that sometimes when we have the conversation with brothers or with whoever, and we start mentioning discipleship, are you making disciples? Are you, sheep begat sheep? Are you doing that? The first thing people's mind goes to is evangelism, rather of to getting people saved. And a lot of people are not built for evangelism. That's why we have the fivefold ministries. And I was sitting here as I was studying this, and God started ministering to me. If evangelism and discipleship were the same thing, there would be no need for the fivefold ministries. They wouldn't be fivefold. They'd be threefold or whatever would be left. But there is the fivefold ministry, which means there are people who are specialized in evangelizing. There are people who specialize in teaching and preaching and what all the fivefold ministries come together. So when people hear about discipleship, their minds automatically sometimes go to evangelism because they think that, okay, I have to spread the word of God, which means I got to go out and get people saved to bring sheep into the house. That's not always true. It's a part of it, but it's not always the whole thing. Most of discipleship starts already in-house because they've already accepted Christ. They've already gotten a relationship, and now they're in-house, and we need to take them from being just few members or regular members to now being disciples. Now, you know, Jesus, he preached, and he had people that were converted, but there were only 12 that he called to himself and made disciples and taught and poured into. And from those 12, he told to go make more disciples, go teach more, go bring in more, make them greater than just pew members, but make them so that they can now become helpers in the work and helpers in the cause. So as we talk about discipleship, we're talking about making helpers in the cause. And it's not just about evangelism. I want to make that distinction because a lot of people shy away from helping with discipleship because they think it's evangelism and they're worried about getting rejected or trying to go out on the street and witness to people. A lot of discipleship, like I said, starts in the walls. It's helping to teach people, teach the children at Sunday school. It's helping to teach Bible study. It's helping to help with the small prayer groups. It's being able to work in men's ministry. It's being able to do all of those things to bring others up to the level where you are and to surpass you. So it's a teaching. One of the things that the word says here, in the King James Version, it says to teach all nations. But in the New King James Version, it says to disciple all nations. And it's a difference, and the two words are interchangeable, and the Greek word means the same thing. It means to teach them so that they can begin to believe and to walk out the commandments of Jesus Christ. So the thing that people get afraid of when you start talking about discipleship is they worry that it's evangelism. What do you think, sir?
Well, let me, Brother, you went to fivefold. That's a whole nother show. But what I am going to say, amen. But you're right. But again, it says that, you know, God has given the five, you've given some apostles, you've given some prophets, evangelists, and pastor teachers. And primary is to build up the church. To build, like you said, I understand what you're saying, but it's to build up those believers. As we gather together, he put men in these places, in these positions, to prepare the church to go out, not to build up the church and just keep everybody and fill up chairs. This is what I'm saying. It is about that, but it's all and unfortunately, some denominations and organizations, they're giving evangelism a special title when it's something we all should do. Every believer should be able to evangelize and share. Again, remember what the basics of evangelism is. It's sharing the message of Jesus Christ. So to me, I see it as if you're living for Christ, if you're living obedient, you know what you believe, why you believe it. You are assured and secured in your faith that when you die that you're going to be in the presence of the Lord. All you're doing is evangelizing, going to tell somebody what you live, what you believe. Then you don't need a title for that. You don't need to be ordained for that. You need a white outfit for that. But that's why I say that the traditional church makes it something special when it should be the norm, if I'm saying that right. Every believer should be, see, that's where the discipleship comes. Every believer is to be used by God. There's no sideline. There's no second string. We are the church. All of us are the church. Now, we're going to have different opportunities. There's different people. Like I said this before to the brothers. There's a soul out there that's only going to receive the gospel from you, and are you prepared to take that responsibility for that soul for eternity from heaven or hell? Because you're known as a Christian. Are you a Christian? Are you speaking into the lives of people? Are you sharing the gospel, planting those seeds? Because we are called to be, again, I want to go back to Paul. Because Paul, when he went to the Gentiles, he gained co-workers, co-laborers is the word I'm looking for. Because that's what he used in the scripture. At the end of his life, he wrote about all his co-laborers in the faith. And that's where we want to be. We want to be co-laborers to our pastor, to our leadership. You know what I mean? Because, again, if the Church of Jesus Christ is only still here now in, what is it, 2023? Because of some faithful few, unfortunately. I'm going to say it like that. Well, I don't say that. A remnant. That the truth of the word got out, that the church is still here. So you are the co-laborer in that. And again, the legacy that we're leaving behind. And that's where the discipleship part, because are you prepared to take responsibility for a soul that you need to reach? And I understand what you're saying about evangelism. You're right, but I think the issue is we have to get over the hump. We're going to get over the hump. The churches who teach that evangelism, being an evangelist is something special. But instead of that should be who we are because that's who we are. Are we the salt and light in the culture? And that culture is where you are every day, in your circle of influence. You work, you live, your church goes out into the community. When you're doing all these things, are you putting time in to serve God? Are you laboring in the good works? Or the only time I see you is on Sunday in the building. I don't see you doing outreach. Brothers, let me say it like this. I'm gonna go where I know. My first pastor taught us that there is a ministry in the church, and then there's your personal ministry where God calls you to. They give it a passion in your heart. And are you going to labor in that thing for the glory of God? Not for yourself, build a reputation or fame. But do you have a passion for something? Because people have a passion. You know, there's brothers out here right now who are doing rehab and doing recovery, celebrate recovery. because they came out of addiction, and that's their passion. They do that. They give time to that, and they also serve in their church. So when the church is doing something, they're there, and they're supporting the local ministry. They're co-laborers with their pastor, but then they have a thing that they do or that they have a passion about. You know what I'm saying? So that's why it's a lot to it. And if we're not discipling people the right way, but we're just worrying about Sunday and they showing up and we don't encourage them along the way. And that's what I'm saying here about issue fishing and so on, and what I say about men's ministry. That we have to get brothers, I think we have to refocus some believers in what are we supposed to be doing as a church? And what are we supposed to be doing as Christian godly men? It's just not dressing up. It's more than just a Sunday morning. That's what I want to say. Are we being effective in the community? Are we stepping out? Are we showing the love of God? Are we taking it to the lost? You know, again, I say, if the 12 and Paul were like some of us in the church, the gospel, the Christianity would have been extinguished a long time ago. But because of God's grace and mercy and that God is in control of this thing, it's here. We're here. The gospel is here. You've heard the gospel. But my brother and listeners, you're saying, there's a reason that you lived long enough to hear the gospel and it gave you a faith to it. But now, are you willing to pass it down for the next generation to come? What do you say, sir?
I agree wholeheartedly with what you're saying, and you're exactly right. The only point that I'm making is that, take, for example, a football team. They're all part of the same team. They're all football players, but there's wide receivers, there's tight ends, there's linemen, there's running backs, there's quarterbacks, there's coaches, there's trainers. Each one deals in a specific area. Each one has a special thing to do. Now, we're all called to be on that team to make sure that team wins, and we all have to do our part. But at some time, we might have to step in and move from being a wide receiver back to being a running back or to help being one of the quarterbacks or something like that. So we all play a role in the whole church. And with evangelism, all I was saying was that there are some that are gifted in evangelism that can go out into the streets and bring people in. But there are some that are more gifted in creating disciples that are here to help build up within the church, to, like I said, to help them move from being patients in the hospital bed to now being assistants and doctors and nurses in the hospital to help the sick and the afflicted. So all I'm saying is that within the whole body of Christ, yes, we are all called to spread the word of Jesus. Acts 2 says, but you shall receive, Acts 1 verse 8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. This is the call of all Christians. We are witnesses to Jesus Christ. And in being witnesses to Jesus Christ, we're all called to spread the word of Jesus Christ so that men can see Jesus Christ in us and accept him for themselves. We're all called to that. I agree with you wholeheartedly. But there are some of us that can specialize in discipleship. There's some of us that can specialize as pastors. There's some that can specialize as apostles or whatever you want to call it within the body of Christ. So the thing that I was trying to do was to diffuse some of the fear that comes in when we start talking about discipleship and making sure that there's a clear and delineated understanding about what discipleship was, so that we can break down some of the fear, because a lot of the things that keep men from ministering to men is they think that they have to evangelize a man. And that's true. It's part of it. But when we talk about discipleship, we're talking about teaching them in the things of God how to be godly men. So the thing that I was trying to do was to help to diffuse the fear so that men can understand that each of us have a part to play in all of this, that each of us has a job to do in all of this, and that we need to make sure that we're not just living out our lives, but that we are pouring back into the body of Christ so that we can help to bring them from the place where we once were to the place where we are now, and to help to build the body of Christ, whether it be through evangelism or through discipleship, to build the body of Christ so that we can help people get out of the sick pit. That's all I'm trying to say. What do you think, sir?
Amen, sir. You're right. All right. That's what it is. That's why here at Issue Christian Men's Talk, we have these conversations, because we all come from a different perspective, and God is big to be and multifaceted. And he does, and he has a call for everyone's life, and even in the roles, responsibilities that he's given each of us in the body of Christ to be pastors, elders, whatever, and teachers. I agree. But I'm just saying, what I say about evangelism is that, it just came to me. Evangelism and witnessing should be part of the curriculum. How about that? Is that good?
Amen. Say that again.
It should be part of the curriculum. It shouldn't be. And I understand what you're saying. That fear is, that's what I think the fear comes from, because people put it out there as something special, like I said. I'll say this again. Some denominations, I might hurt somebody's feelings, but in some denominations and organizations, somehow the evangelist became something special, where it should be something, again, if it's who you are, you should be able to share and tell somebody about it. That's where I come in when you talk about evangelism. Because it's because, again, we all have the Holy Spirit within us. Because it's not us anyway. It's God using us through the Holy Spirit. But if we have a foundation, if we have a strong foundation in the Word, in prayer, with living lives that are obedient and pleasing to him, God can use anybody to reach anybody. I think that should be the opening line to any evangelism. God can use anybody to reach anybody, but can he use you? Because we shy away. We don't read the word to share the word. Because first of all, we have to read the word to apply the word. We have to read the word to share the word and study the word. You just can't do that when your salvation is based on three verses and a couple of passages that you memorize that everybody keeps using all the time. Have you read the word for yourself, brothers? Have you read the Old Testament books and understand what was going on? And not the favorite Old Testament verses that everybody likes to pull out. Have you read the Old Testament? Have you studied the Gospels?
Yes.
Have you studied the Gospels to the point where you compared the Gospels to one another and got the whole picture of what was going on for those 3 years? Have you read the book of Acts? Do you understand Paul and what he was doing and how he did it the challenges he made? Because if you read that and see what Paul did, you should lose your fear to evangelize. Because that brother was chased, hunted, and all kinds of things, and all he was talking about was Jesus Christ. That's not going to happen to you today. You're concerned because somebody might reject you, don't like you. And I'm a pastor right now since all the time. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting God, because you are an ambassador. You're a messenger of God. If they're rejecting what you're saying or what you're trying to share with them, they're rejecting God. And there's going to be consequences for that. So don't take it personal. That's what I'm saying about evangelism. We got to get people to stop taking the work and the labor of God personal. Just be obedient to what the word teaches. And for brothers, that's where we have to go. Because again, I want to take it back to the men. Because if you're not discipling your home, you're mentoring in your home, you're not teaching, you and your wife are not on one accord with the things of God and growing together, you're not mentoring and teaching your children the truth of the gospel. You know, I'm just in a conversation recently with some brothers that our children right now, all that's going on in this culture and what's going on in these schools, they're gonna have to be able to stand apart from their generation for things that now are becoming normal. That it's all becoming normal. And the only thing, if they confess to be a Christian, is something they're gonna have to not get involved with, push back on. You know what I'm saying? Because it's going to be, there's a time that's coming, all the stuff we sit around and complain about it, but what do you believe? What does your family believe? What does your church believe? And this is the word of God. Does your church, does you, your family, and your church believe the word of God? Because the culture is going to be with the culture. Remember, this ain't new to God. God came with flood last time. He let it go so far, he came with the flood. Right now, all the stuff is happening. He's coming. But who's gonna survive? And whose life are you? When it comes to evangelism, whose soul are you responsible to save before God comes back? We can preach a warning, but who are we sharing the gospel with? So they won't have to endure either they will be raptured, that they won't have to go through the tribulations, because it's going to get a lot worse. See, we think this is bad. This is nothing. Because why? We're still here. The Holy Spirit is here, and it is holding back a lot of stuff. Because if we read Revelation, things are going to happen. Once God takes his people and his Holy Spirit leave the earth, evil is going to be unleashed. And we couldn't even describe it. But do we love people enough to tell them, to do our part, to let them know? So if they are left behind here, I mean, it's a movie, but I'm not giving it that was like candy. But anyway, that was like brain candy. But anyway, for those who don't make it, will they remember that? Oh my God, this brother tried to tell me. John Spahn tried to tell me. Larry Walker, they tried to tell me. But they were raptured out. I'm here. And now that all the stuff they talked about and what I must do to be saved, and it is just really happening. So, and that's what I think when we talk about evangelism and discipleship. But again, what are we doing? To see, what are we doing? Are we just, what are we individually doing? That's what it comes out to everything. Because I can't even put it on pastors and elders and leaders, because, God has given them a lead, but what are you doing? And are you focused on growth? Because we have there's so many tools out here, we have access to so much knowledge of the gospel and the study of his word and how to apply his word, that we're going to be held responsible. Remember, we're all going to stand before Christ alone, not with your pastor, your church, your denomination, your bishop, whatever. You're going to stand before God. He's going to hold you accountable for what you do, what you understand, and what you do. Amen? Amen. This is Issue Christian Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Parr. We're going to shift gears real quick, brothers. Again, we're talking about Christian discipleship. And I wanted to give you some scriptures and some things to meditate on, and what it means for personal growth and what it looks like. And I think that's important. Yeah, now you can take, I encourage you to go to the Word, study the Word, to understand what is discipleship and what is it going to look like. It's putting, first of all, it's one thing we have to understand, that putting Jesus first in all things. You're not a disciple if Jesus is, down your list of priorities in your life. Where is Christ putting the priorities of your life? Mark chapter 8, verses 34 to 38. You're following the teachings. Now, as we grow, we're following the teachings, and the only way we can follow the teachings is that we're studying the word and we're living as obedient children. We're not hearers of the word, but we're doers of the word. We hear, then we do, we apply. And we go to John chapter 8, verses 31 to 32, James chapter 1, verse 22. Then we have to examine ourselves. Are we bearing fruit? As Christian disciples, we are living fruitful lives. Are we displaying the fruit of the Spirit and good works and living peaceable with all men, in peace and righteousness with all men? John 15, 5 through 8. Hebrews 12 and 11. John 15, 1 through 8. I'm sorry. And are we being fruitful? The next one is, this is a good one. Are we loving other disciples? Are we loving our brothers and sisters in Christ? Those who confess Christ, those we sit next to. I'm going to change this. Not the ones we sit to next to every week in the pew, in the same pew, every chair, every week. How about the brothers? How about the people that are sitting in the pew behind you? Three pews and to the right. Do you love that person? Do you know that person? And then you got four pews on the left and then on the left-hand side. Do you know those people in that row? again, is the church united? Is your local congregation, your local ministry, your local fellowship, are you all united that you're loving each other? You're looking out for each other. The love of the believers is evidence that you are a member of God's family, that you are in the body of Christ. Amen? So that's John 13, verses 34 and 35, 1 John 3:10. And I got one more. I'm going to come to you, bro. I got one more. This is the one we've been talking about all night. Are you making disciples of others? We know that's it. At what point are you now discipling someone else? Are you taking time to, again, connect with your brother? We talked about, we had a conversation earlier about what is it, Romans 15. The stronger, bearing the burdens of the weak. Are we taking people under our wing? Are we connecting with people who are struggling with a lot of things? I mean, they're struggling with their faith, but they're struggling with life. Are we coming along inside them and helping them and helping them overcome their problems and get delivered from the things that they dealt with in this life? They bring it with them, bring it to the church. You know, Pastor Watkins, he talked about a hospital of sick people. Are we coming alongside people and nursing them and rubbing oil on them and praying for them and praying with them? Are we doing those things? Are we on purpose connecting with each other to help each other along the way? These are the signs, the marks, the things of being a disciple. And again, every man has to look into his life and see where you are when it comes to obeying and living out and being doers of the word. Pastor Watkins, what do you say, sir?
I agree with you wholeheartedly on everything you're saying here, G, and I appreciate you giving those scriptures and those five things, because it kind of walks us through the path of things that we need to be doing as a disciple. The one thing that I wanted to do now is to bring this back to the beginning. When we first started talking about this topic, we talked about the difference between fellowship and discipleship. And one of the things that I said at the beginning was that we had to make sure that when we are having our men's get-togethers and our men's Bible studies and our men's ministry and everything else, that there's more content over quantity. And the reason that we need to make sure that there's more content over quantity is because this is what needs to be taught to the men so that they can go out and teach it to other men and to help other men. So make sure that we're giving them this kind of content in the midst of our Bible studies. And I told you about the example that I had with the basketball and doing in the gym, that it became, there was an hour and a half of basketball, but there was 15 minutes of content where there was evangelism going on, where there was discipleship going on, because they were being taught and they were being given content and grown and everything else. And this is the thing that we have to make sure that we're doing as far as men's ministry is concerned, as far as we do with anything that we're doing that is teaching and ministering to people, is to make sure that, yeah, you can bring them in and let them have a pancake breakfast list, but let's make sure that we're giving them the content that they need so that they can grow as Christians, so that they can move from putting Jesus first to following his teachings, to make sure that they're producing fruit and to loving others and then making disciples of other people, so that we can make sure that they understand the difference between evangelism, fellowship, and then discipleship, and that we can move them along in that process, and so that we make sure that we are doing the work that we have been called to do. And in doing so, I was just playing devil's advocate here, as the Spirit had led me to do, to make sure that we were covering, that we were getting the message across. So thank you for the opportunity.
Amen, bro. No. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, if there's any doubt, me and this brother get along. But I got you, bro. the devil's advocate. But this is what we should be doing. This is why I say at Bible studies. This is why Bible studies is the time to come with these questions. Explain this to me. I think about this, but what am I thinking wrong? This is what we should be doing. We should be reasoning together, and we all can come into agreement and come into fellowship and come into connection that we are united in unity, and now we can reach the world. But this is what this has to be done. That's what I'm saying about the men's fellowships, or how we even, like you said, you know, we call it the camp pancake breakfast, but our men engage us, so we know where brothers are. Because how many servants, all right, bro, you got to have my back on this. I don't understand we can continue to preach sermons and then we don't give them a test or check the application or verify understanding.
Exactly.
So this is what I'm saying about men's ministry should be just different than just another sermon from a brother that stands up in front of everybody and then preaches and sweats his heart out. But now how do we know what they heard and how are they going to apply? Because sometimes you could hear a sermon in a preaching, but now you're wondering, well, how can I do? How can I apply? Which way should I go? How do I apply this to my life? And this is where we have the men's fellowship, the men's gathering, the men's Bible study. The way we're going to work out the understanding of his word and the application of the word to our lives. Because that's going to be the test of how we apply what we not hearers or doers. Because I can hear sermons for 30 years. But did those sermons move me to where God wanted me to do? Is the Holy Spirit living within me? Am I even saved? Because I can come to all the services. But am I really truly saved? And then what does my life look like? What does this look like to be a disciple? Because we are to be making disciples. That's the simplest. There ain't no other way to say we are to be making disciples, and disciples should be able to do some things. The disciples should be able to be used by God. Okay?
Exactly.
That's you know what? That's going to be the biggest thing. You're a disciple because God can use you for his purposes and his will and through the power of the Holy Spirit. So when we talk about the fear of evangelism, we talk about this not feeling comfortable. You have to read the scripture. You think Paul felt comfortable with all the things he had to go through? Do you think Peter felt comfortable? Peter had to write to a church who was in the midst of persecution where he was setting Christians on fire, but yet he wrote 1st and 2nd Peter to the church and encouraged them. We just read it. Wait a minute. 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the faith and the knowledge of Christ, and when your brothers and sisters around you may be getting thrown into the, what's that thing, the gladiators, the Colosseum, the Nero is killing Christians, yeah. Rome Christianity is outlawed. But Peter says, grow in the faith and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So how can you do that to the churches under persecution? And now you're going to tell me in 2023, you're scared and nervous about sharing your faith. I'm just saying. I'm sorry.
I agree with you, man.
Bro, you're supposed to stop.
I agree with you.
But anyway, I want to, amen, amen. I appreciate you, brother. But gentlemen, brothers, this is all I'm saying when we talk about here is Christian talk. Start to seek the word, look at the word differently, and look at who you are to be and what the word is calling us. The word is calling us to. Christ, Jesus said, follow me. Jesus said, come unto me. So that means he wants us to come unto him, that he is our Lord, our Savior. He's our shepherd. He's our king. He's our mediator. And when we live in lives obedient to the call. What did Christ die for? What did Christ die for? And what does he want his church to be in the world? Not just the first century, even in this 21st century. The church has the same job, and we are the church. We have the same call, the same direction, the same instruction. That the church that Peter was writing to, the churches that Paul wrote to, we have the same call in our lives. We have the same Holy Spirit living within us if we are his, if we are a child of God. So now what are we going to do? Amen? Amen. This has been Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. Again, we are live every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. And you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. You can listen to the rebroadcast of this show and archive of all of our past shows. And I just want to encourage the brother, continue to encourage you in your walk and your growth in as husbands and fathers and leaders in the church, in the home, in the community, and just press into the things of God. If you have the doubts and fears, pray. Bring your brothers together. Get some brothers into prayer. Get some men to pray with you and for you. You know, start it. And like I always say, wherever you are, wherever your local fellowship is, connect with some of the brothers there. Go out to dinner. Go out to lunch. Be around each other. Do fellowship so you can know each other. And then in that knowing of each other, you connect with each other. We become friends. We become co-laborers. We encourage each other in the things of God, you know, but this is what we need to do in these times. You know, we preach about the end times. We see all these things happening, that Christ is soon to come. But what are we doing that no soul, how about that? No soul will be left behind. Who's the one soul that God wants to use you to reach? That's what we have to pray every night. God, what's the one soul that you want me to reach so they don't spend eternity in hell? Amen. That's Watkins. I appreciate you again, as always, brother, coming and sharing. This is where you can close us out and you give the closing comment and close out in prayer, brother. And I appreciate you. Love you.
Thank you, sir. I thank you for the opportunity. Always a pleasure, man. I appreciate you allowing me to, again, play devil's advocate here and hopefully open up a topic for better understanding. The Bible tells us that in Peter, it says that we should have a reason for the hope that lies within us, meaning that we should be able to explain Jesus Christ to anybody at any time. Whether you are labeled an evangelist or whatever you are, whether you are labeled a pastor or whether you're a regular pew member, you should still be able to have a hope for a reason for the hope that lies within you. You still should be able to share Jesus Christ with someone. Even if you can't quote a scripture, you can tell them who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. The Bible tells us that we are to work out our own soul salvation, that we are to put this thing into progress, into work. We're supposed to work at it and help to build ourselves up. It says that we're supposed to study to show ourselves approved. Paul wrote this in Timothy. He said to study to show yourself approved, a workman rightly dividing the word of truth. All of this is true, and all of this is necessary for us being a Christian. But the key thing to all of this is that it is not about you. Yes, we're supposed to do all of this. Yes, we're supposed to build this up. Yes, we're supposed to have a reason. Yes, we're supposed to study. But it's also so that we can go out and we can reach and help somebody else. So, brothers, I encourage you, do the work that is necessary. Follow the teachings. Start bearing the fruit. Start showing that we're loving each other, and then start making disciples of each other. And let us work together as we study, as we build ourselves up, as we move forward, and then we can begin to create disciples. We can be able to build somebody else up so that they can become disciples of Jesus Christ, just as we are disciples of Jesus Christ. So I encourage you all to work together, build yourself up. Don't just sit there and be a pew member. Don't just sit there and come every Sunday in a nice suit and look good. Don't just come. Let's come to Bible studies. Let's go to Sunday school. Let's do these things where we sit and teach. And let's come together, as the Bible says, and let us reason together so that we can get a better understanding of what this thing called Christianity is and what it means to live this life out. Let us bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, how we love you and adore you, how we appreciate you, God, for all the things that you have done for us. We honor you because you are God, and besides you, there is none other. We appreciate you because you are the Holy One of Israel, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega. We thank you now for the word that has gone forth. We ask, Lord God, that you would bind this word in our hearts, that we would begin to understand the necessary need for discipleship and to create disciples. Now, Father, help us, Lord God, that we might build ourselves up, that we might study to show ourselves approved, that we might be able to stand and have a reason for the hope that lies within us. Help us to become better Christians, Lord God. Help us to become those that live for you. Let them know that we are disciples because we are showing love one for another, Father. We ask that you would bless the men that are hearing this word today, Lord God, whether it be by broadcast, by telephone, or even hearing it in the archive, Lord God. Bless them where they are right now, Lord God. Bless the concerns of their heart and the concerns of their mind. Bless Deacon Farr for all that he has done and poured out. We ask, Lord God, that you would continue to pour back into him and to bless him for all that he does. Now, Lord God, we ask you to walk over as we leave this place. Keep us in your care. In Jesus' name we pray. We give you all the honor and the glory. We praise you for all that you do for us. And we bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And brothers, I just want to give a quick shout-out to Elder Mark Ames. I got a message from him today. We want to thank God. He's going to the Baltimore Seminary, Metro Baltimore Seminary. He got a scholarship. Him and his wife are being blessed. So I'm going to give that brother a shout-out, and then we will come back with some more wisdom and knowledge, and then I'm going to borrow some of his books and stuff. But anyway, amen. So we're going to give that brother a shout-out. He's a big participant here. So he got a scholarship to seminary. I need to get on a scholarship list somehow. I want to fix things. I need to. Amen. God bless you, sir. Have a wonderful evening.
God bless you. God bless you.
Amen.
I've learned how to wait. My waiting, I'm gonna bless him every day.
What?